How's it going, everybody? This is Brennan coming at you at the top of the episode. Probably around the 8 to 9 minute mark, Skype starts getting a little choppy with my guest. So there will be quick breaks in between sentences. In editing, I believe most of what was trying to be said got there. But I edited as much as I could and tried to make it as best as I could. There were much more egregious breaks, even to the point where we had to restart the call. But I just wanted to let you guys know at the top and bear with it. And I apologize, and hopefully you'll enjoy this amazing episode. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Why We Play. This is Brennan coming back at you with another great guest tonight. Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi guys, my name is Jose Harach. I'm a chef, I'm a gamer, I'm a Twitch streamer. I'm excited to be here.
So you're a chef, like where do you work?
I work in a steakhouse over in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
Yeah.
I work in the airline industry distributing airline parts, so
job's
not nearly as glamorous as, or not glamorous, but you know, I guess you have more the ability to be more creative with cooking.
Yeah, I do. Trust me, there's no glamour on my end. It's a lot of cussing, a lot of yelling, a lot of after work drinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too with me.
Oh, that's good.
So what do you, so you play games, obviously, right? That's why you're here. What are you actually playing right now?
Well, right now I'm diving back into Fallout 4 because I have this terrible habit that I've done to at least five of my games where I play it exclusively for a long time. And then after a while, I'm just like, I want to play something different and kind of give the game a break. And then and then I just don't play it for a long, for like months at a time. And then I want to go back to it, but I'm like, oh, but now I don't remember what I was doing or how to play as well as I was. And then I just kind of push it off. But I'm trying to break that habit now. So my goal is to finish Fallout 4. And then next will be Metal Gear Solid 5 because I did the same thing to that. So I got to beat that as well.
Oh, no, you have to beat Metal Gear Solid 5. That game it came out, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 2 years ago.
It was my game of the year 2 years ago, so.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I loved it so much. But it's like I tend to just, I get like, not bored, but it's just like, all right, I need some variety. I need to play something different. And then when I start playing something different, and then it just kind of just, it gets stuck in the backlog, you know, so.
Oh, my backlog is perpetually growing day after day. So I know the trials of trying to clear that. And where we're at right now in games, honestly, this last quarter has been off the chain.
Oh, it's like, it's almost like, I feel like it's a new renaissance of games that's coming out. Recently, I feel like the last major gaming renaissance, I feel like personally, was back in the PS2 era. There was such a surplus of just insanely good games, both AAA and there wasn't really much of an indie scene, but I would say more of the obscure type, especially in like terms of Japanese gaming.
Yeah,
like it was when everyone was more experimental back then. Whereas when the PS, like towards the PS3, Xbox 360 era, I feel like the experimentation vanished. Maybe not vanished, like it kind of shifted to the indie scene, but in terms of like main like AAA games or like games that comes from actual developers that are distributed through stores and stuff like that, they played it so safe during that era of gaming. So. And I could tell that because my PS2 collection is vast. I have at least 100 games on my PS2 alone, whereas with my PS3, I have like maybe 20, 30, because it was just so – everything seemed to be the same, and it was much less excitement. But now, forget it. It's like AAA games are finally doing – they're finally doing more different things, like with Horizon. the sequels are getting much more ambitious. As for Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid, they're switching things up, and the indie scene is just phenomenal. I absolutely love playing as many indie games as I possibly can, because they're just great talent out there. I love them.
No, 100%. I'm actually working on scheduling interviews out with obscure, not obscure is not the right word for this, but you know, smaller time indie developers, and that, you know, that don't get the shrift that they deserve. I mean, there's a lot of quality games coming out right now, and you mentioned about the renaissance of games, you know, occurring right now. I would actually tend to agree. Especially, like, the pinnacle of that one for me, honestly, like you said earlier, was Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
Where it was... did you play the other games? I'm assuming yes, but...
No, I played every one. Yeah, I played every single one. And I loved it. It's actually, I would say, my favorite... My top three in terms of favorite series of games.
No, I'm right there with you. But yeah, if you look at 5, like... compare 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then everything else, and then look at 5. Right? Oh, yeah. It's
like different game. It's like almost a different game, yet it's so familiar, and it's exactly what gaming needed. It was a huge first step, I feel like, into the next gen, and what games needed. And I'm glad that they did, because now I feel like it allowed people to experiment a little bit more with their games and stuff like that.
No, I agree. And another trend I've actually noticed too is the rise of games that will exist in perpetuity, right? So games like Destiny, games like Overwatch, Dota, League, all these games that honestly are time sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right? They're quality Definitely. Titles, right? Like Dota's not my League and Dota aren't my jams, but like Overwatch, I still can't stop playing that game.
You know, I actually haven't played Overwatch yet.
Oh,
that's on the agenda.
That's a quality fucking title.
Yeah.
between that and I put over 800 hours into Destiny, and most of that was you know playing with friends. But especially with this generation, and I know this has existed in PC for a while with like World of Warcraft and EverQuest, but it seems like games are having a much longer tail than they ever used to in the. PS2 and even the PS3 and Xbox 360 days.
Yeah. You know, it was I feel like it's better. It's that way now because I feel like they started trying to experiment with. Well, I don't know. Experiment's not the right word. I feel like they started implementing these games with longer tails in the PS3 era, but it just wasn't quite set. They didn't get it right yet because maybe. I don't know if it was like just the technology wasn't there in terms of servers, or maybe they just didn't have these ideas set, or maybe the manpower wasn't there, or the system power wasn't there. Because back in like the PS2 era and before then, replayability and longevity counted on the game itself either having an in order to. Lengthen the playtime, or the game has to be that damn good in order to that as soon as you beat the game, it's like bam, fucking starting right at the beginning and doing it all over again. You know, like for example, for me, in terms of the PS2 games, that like one game in particular that made me do that was Onimusha, the Onimusha series, specifically Onimusha, which I'm fucking Capcom needs to get off their ass. Stop giving me 5,000 versions of Street Fighter as much as I love it, and let's bring back some Onimusha. The market is there. Look how well Neo just did, you know. And a lot of people would be like, oh, it's kind of like Dark Souls mixed with Ninja Gaiden Onimusha. Like, people have not forgotten about Onimusha. And I know Capcom likes their money. That's why they keep on re-releasing the same game 500 times. Like, I can't believe they're doing another Street Fighter 2, which it's like, guys, come on.
How many times has that game come out now? Like, at least... 12.
Five, yeah. so many times, man. It's like I listen, yes, I get it. Street Fighter 2 is phenomenal. I love Street Fighter 2. You know, I've been playing Street Fighter since I was a wee lad, you know? And an updated version of Street Fighter 2, it's great and it's cool and it's exciting, but it's like don't just like like, give me a new IP, or at least bring, if you're going to start bringing back old IPs, bring back something that hasn't been done 1,000 times yet. That's what I'm saying. Onimusha, Capcom, let's go. Capcom, if you're listening, if you stumble across this podcast, bring us Onimusha. We'll throw money. I'm waiting to throw all my money at you for some Onimusha, please. So.
Sidebar, bring Mega Man back as well in a compatible form.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And, yeah, that's another one. Like, another, like, don't give me a half-assed 3D Mega Man, and don't, you know, you don't have to keep releasing the OG Nintendo ones. Like, there's, you can, they could easily make a new Mega Man and have it like a, almost like a hand-drawn, like, anime style, and make that into a game. Kind of like how Guilty Gear, if, I don't know if you're aware of Guilty Gear.
Oh, yeah.
If it's, you know, how Guilty Gear, how it looks so, it looks it's hand-drawn in 2D, but it looks so modern and crisp and clear, and I feel like if they did that with Mega Man, that would be phenomenal.
No, I agree, and the market's out there. I mean, look at how well, at least Kickstarter-wise, look at how well Mighty No. 9 did, right?
Yeah, that was a big...
That game was a perpetual flop, and it was trash. It wasn't even worth the $5 I spent on it, honestly. I kicked it on, and I went, oh.
Oh, man. It
was more of like a self-inflicting loathing on myself when I bought it, because I knew it wasn't good, right? Because, I mean, I remember when it did come out, and everybody was like, holy shit, what is this, right? Yeah, like this isn't good.
Yeah, which is so disappointing, because I was excited about that. I didn't put it into the Kickstarter, and I haven't purchased it. Even though I was thinking, like, you know what, I'll eventually play it anyway, because I'll get it but I'll wait till it's like on sale. But it's been on sale so many times, and I'm just like, ugh. But I don't want to get my money.
I agree, and there are many more better games out there that are coming out that are more worth your time than that trash.
Oh, yeah.
I bought it for the same reason I bought Homefront The Revolution. I just wanted to suffer just, you know, ever so slightly. So, all right. So we've talked. I mean, all right. So where did you start, like, gaming at? Because you've mentioned, like, Onimusha and Mega Man, and you've gone back, like, to games that I've touched. And then I played, you know, from 15 plus years ago. So where did you start off?
Oh, I started from Nintendo, the NES. I've been playing on games since I was like 3, 4. I started with the NES with Mario, Duck Hunt, Mega Man. There was this one game I actually loved called Trog, which was like it's like a weird Pac-Man style game, but instead of like Pac-Man and ghosts, it's like cavemen and dinosaurs. I loved that game when I was a kid, and then from there on, then my mom got me a Sega Genesis, and that was a majority of my childhood was just playing Sega Genesis games.
So you started off Nintendo, and then defected to. I say defected, right? Like, it's a bad thing. I was a Sega kid too, so I can't say much, but that's actually fascinating, because most of the time whenever you hear people saying they started off in Nintendo, they don't actually like pay the Sega any mind, because it was to them the inferior console, and it was to a degree.
So it was $100 cheaper. Then my mom saw Sonic, also the Sonic on demo display, and she thought, like, how cool it looked. And my mom, she always liked to get things that are cool, that looked cool, or looked exciting. So when she saw that and saw the price tag, I feel like just as a consumer, it just seemed like a better option. So then she picked me up that, and that's how I got Sega.
It makes sense. Trust me, that price is always a factor, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So another question of the past, what was the game that you can recall right off the top of your head that was like, fuck yes, I'm in this for, you know, 20 plus years?
Off the top of my head, I'm in this from back then in the day?
From whenever.
Or just in general?
From whenever.
Whenever? Mass Effect 2.
Really?
Yeah, because I love the first Mass Effect. I played the first Mass Effect, and I loved it. And then when I saw the evolution that Mass Effect 2 made, I was like, oh, yes, I am in, like, right away, day one. That one or Metal Gear Solid 3. Those two, I had the same levels of just, say, excitement. I think maybe actually more Metal Gear Solid 3, because I actually had dreams about playing that game. That's how excited I was for that.
and it was a game worth dreaming about. That game was fucking amazing, to say the least.
Oh, phenomenal. I remember watching the E3 trailer. Like, I don't know if you remember. It was like a 13 minute long trailer.
Oh yeah.
And I downloaded that on, like, Kazaa, I think was the one that I was using at the time, and I just watched it over and over and over and over. I'm just like, when is this game coming out? And then sleeping and dreaming about it. I'm just like, I need this game. So yeah, that would be my dream game.
So Metal Gear is actually like a pretty seminal series for you then.
Oh yeah, like I said, top three. For sure, more so than any other game I think I've ever, any other game series other than maybe Mass Effect, it's very rare that I get like a level like I'll get excited and I'll be like, oh yeah, I really want to play it, but it's very rare that I'm like, oh my god, like I need it, even then, more than so than anything Nintendo has done recently, because like. In terms of the new Legend of Zelda, I think it's cool. It looks cool. I like that they went a different path, and I hear that I'm hearing great things, but it doesn't get me excited. But then again, I do have like a, I'm not really happy with Nintendo. I'm not happy with Nintendo and how they've handled themselves recently, even though they're doing good marketing with the Switch. But
I was gonna say, have you like touched Zelda, the new one?
The new one, no. I didn't get it. I hear great things. Like, I would love to play it, and it's not. And I do enjoy the Zelda series. But the last Nintendo console I've gotten was a Wii. And that's to me, the Wii was such a huge disappointment, and then in terms of just, it has its good first party games, but as a console as a whole, it was a dust collector, you know. And then the same thing with the Wii U, I didn't even pick it up because I don't like the way Nintendo's been handling stuff. I have a very big bone to pick with Nintendo, especially how they're handling this how they're doing the Switch, this new console.
So what about the Switch is bothering you? Because I have, you know, my qualms with it too. It's mostly because I can't find one anywhere. Nintendo.
Yeah,
I'm not even a Nintendo fanboy, but like for me and, you know, how I operate in my life, right? The Switch is actually like, I love my Vita. For the same reason that I would love the Switch. Right.
Yeah. The Vita was a huge bed shitting situation of Sony for sure. They mishandled that so horribly that it's just like, Sony, what happened? But you know, that also came around the same time as the PS3, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And the PS3 launch was also just bad. It was just bad. Like, if I feel like if they released the Vita now, as opposed to when the PS3 came out, I feel like the PS Vita probably be the most successful handheld because they know how to market better now as opposed to the PS3.
Yeah, you're seeing a brand new Sony with the PlayStation 4. Yeah, if they release another handheld now, I think it would, honestly, I do think it would crush.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah.
But with the Nintendo, oh my god, where to start? First of all, like what you said, Nintendo needs to. They do this thing, right, which is like it's a smart business practice. I get it, but I hate it. It's when they purposely under release they're underproduct their consoles, so the demand seems higher than it actually is. So then there's people who are just waiting months and months and months to get their own, to get this new console, right? Just so to build more hype and make more sales. And I get that, but I feel like that's a false way to build hype. They should build hype with their product itself. Now, in terms of the Switch, okay, this I'm about to go on a little rant.
go ahead.
Right, so in terms of the Switch, okay, the initial reveal was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant, to the point that I'm just like, even me, who was so just disenchanted with Nintendo, especially with how they handled the Wii U and what a flop that was, I was even like, ooh, I'm actually kind of excited for a Nintendo console. The first time I've been for a long time, you know, I mean, the showing how like the portableness of it was brilliant, and the, you know, how they have the detachable handles, and then you can use those handles for multiplayer, use those for multiplayer. And I'm just like, this is great. This is brilliant. This can change the game. Of course, it can only change the game if there's software behind it, like if there's actual support, you know, third-party games. But I was excited about it.
Yeah, their initial hit with that three-minute trailer just, like, sent everybody, even, like, jaded-ass, like, Nintendo haters into a tizzy about themselves. Like, in that 3.5 minutes in that trailer with that super fucking catchy song, I'm just going to point that one there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the hype was real. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It was fucking real. I'm showing everybody at work, and nobody I work with actually plays games.
Right.
And even they're like, oh, that's actually pretty fucking cool.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But it was a fantastically made trailer, a fantastic reveal.
And then Nintendo of Japan got involved.
Exactly. Which goes to the next point of my qualm. The actual press conference of the actual press reveal, and then what Nintendo is doing with pretty much everything else, right? So first of all, that big reveal press conference was a sloppy, unorganized, rushed mess. It's like they'll come out and be like, here's a Switch. It's like, now there's two ways that they could have presented it. Now here's the Switch, and it has these features, but now we have this game, and that game, and this game, and that game. And then these developers come out, and, oh, we're going to show you this game, and really made it about the games, just like Sony does, right? And really get people hype. But instead, what they did was they did a trailer for the 1-2 Switch, which is basically just a glorified tech demo. They talk about the 3D Rumble option, which is like, I guess it's kind of cool, but it's cool, but like in a practical sense, it's going to be just, who cares, you know? After a while, after the first excitement, people are just going to get used to it. And like, that's cool and all, but who gives a shit, right?
But they spent 25 minutes on it.
Yeah, it was like, insane. They spent
forever on that goddamn Rumble.
It reminded me of like the Wii. Like, it's like the Wii, like how they focus on the motion controls. But back then, that was new, exciting technology. I mean, of course, it turned up that the Wii remote just became a big waggle fest, you know. But it was new, exciting technology, and I feel like they were trying to make that type of same presentation with this new 3D rumble or 3D vibration, and it's just it's who cares, you know? It's not a big deal. And then they announced the arms, right? Cool. That's cool, I guess. But that's fucking, that's your big first launch reveal. That's not who cares, all right? Second, then they showed like a couple of like games that I didn't even know what they were, because it was like in Japanese. I'm like, in Japanese letters. Like, I understand it was a Japanese presentation, but put some subtitles, the name of the game. Like, I have no idea. I still don't know to this day what game that was.
Which, you know, one was it? The one that was in the like abandoned apartment with all the things in it?
I think. I don't even remember. I think, like, that's how little of an impression you made.
And, you know? Yeah, they just needed to come out hitting strong with games, right? And I don't know. You don't know when half these games are coming out. The only two that you know were Zelda,
Mario.
Mario Odyssey, and even that might get delayed out of holiday, right?
Yeah, probably.
And I think they even had a sizzle reel of Mario Kart, but they didn't say when it was in the press announcement. It was bizarre.
And then Mario Kart is not even a new Mario Kart. It's just re-release. It's a re-release Mario Kart from the Wii U, but with features that should have been in the Wii U version, like the battles. Like, guess what? An actual full Mario Kart game is coming out for the Wii, for the Switch, and you have to pay full retail price for it. And it's like, no, Nintendo, you can go screw yourself. But I would say the biggest mess up that Nintendo is pulling are two things. A, the cost of the additional hardware, like for the Pro Controller, their version of the Pro Controller and shit like that. I feel it's just way overpriced, you know.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
But then the number one big sin that just made me just go like, nope to the Switch is how they're handling their online. The online is the most. It's gonna be. It's atrocious how they're handling this. They're taking the wrong things from that Sony and Microsoft are doing, implementing it the completely wrong way. You know, like, okay, so first of all, it's a paid subscription. I'm used to that. Okay, that's not that to me. It's like, all right, well, like in today's day and age for console gaming. They charge for the internet, for online services now. All right, I get it, but they make up for it with incentives, with addition, with content, with deals, with, you know, free games. They justify it. It's like, you know what, you're gonna have to give us $50 a month to be able to, or $50 a year in order to do this, but we're going to be giving you mad stuff in return, and it'd be worth the subscription. With Nintendo, it's like, here's our new online service that you have to pay $50 for. That it's kind of, you can add friends, but you still need to, but certain games you're still going to need to use friend codes. That's stupid. And you get one Nintendo game or Super Nintendo game a month for free for just that 1 month, and that's it. Then you have to buy it.
Then we'll take it away.
Yeah, and it's like, what?
It makes no sense.
Like, what kind of backwards-ass fucking nonsense is that? How arrogant can you be as a company to think that people are going to see that feature and be like, what a great, I am so, thank you, Nintendo, for giving us such a gift of being able to basically rent a Nintendo game from 20 years ago for a month, so I can maybe buy it if I want to keep it. You know, that's horrible practice, A. B, with the Nintendo's record of releasing things on their virtual console, it's like a drop of water from a leaky faucet. The speed of that, how they release games, you know, just it's so. It's like, it's probably not gonna. That's probably gonna suck as well, because that's just how they do things. There's already better options. Like, there's so many better examples of how to handle these things, and Nintendo is just kind of shitting the bed all over it. And the thing that makes it all, that frustrates me the most, is that Nintendo is, like, so arrogant that they think this is going to fly, and they're right to feel that way, because everyone is currently all over Nintendo's dick, and they're just spewing praise on this company, and not calling them out on their bullshit, you know? And I don't understand why no one can be like, hey, Nintendo, like, all right, you got a good console, and you got a Breath of the Wild. It's a great game, but you know what? You can also get Breath of the Wild for Wii U. It's not like it's an exclusive game, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm playing on Wii U right now because I can't find a damn Switch anywhere, so.
Yeah, there you go. But you know, it's like, it's probably not that much of a difference, you know? Another side note from not bringing up the Legend, Zelda, is another thing that they did that was messed up is that they hid a difficulty level. Like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has a hard mode that you have to that you can only access behind a paywall. You have to pay for DLC to get a difficulty level. That is just squeezing. It's just like, let me squeeze more money out of the consumer. I just want to wring their wallets and just get some more pennies out of there. Like it, that's like you don't hide a difficulty level, something that should be a basic part of the game, behind a paywall. That's shitty consumer practices, I feel. Yeah.
No, I would tend to agree. I don't, that game doesn't need a harder difficulty. Honestly, the new Zelda is actually pretty fucking difficult.
Is it?
Yeah, it's actually like they stepped up the difficulty level on that shit.
Oh, that's great then.
So that's good. I don't really even want a harder mode. Like, so man. I mean, they're still, this is one of their, I mean, they've done for like Mario Kart, and I think that's about it.
Right.
So they're still experimenting with the season pass stuff, so it's not perfect, and I'm not, you know, giving them a pass, but yeah, but they do need to figure it out. I feel like a lot of the stuff after that press conference was met with animosity. The online services in particular. I think now it's more of a wait-and-see approach because it's not even ready for launch, so...
Yeah, another thing. How do you release a console without the online services ready? That should go hand in hand. Yeah,
I mean, exactly. I think this console is rushed out to get it through the fiscal year, and now they're just playing catch up. So
yeah,
I mean, like we'll see where it goes. Right, I'm still looking to get one. So
yeah, like hey, I hope that Nintendo proves me wrong and just be, and pulls a complete 180 and just be like. And just fixes everything, like, kind of like how Sony did with their PS3. It's possible. It's not impossible. You know, again, like I said, Sony did it. But they need to. But Nintendo needs to step out of this arrogant, like, we do what we want because everyone will just bow at our feet type of mentality, and realize that if they don't change their practices, they will lose so much money that maybe they won't make any more consoles anymore. And I know they don't want to do that, you know. So
yeah, for sure. So yeah, so I still say that we reconvene here in about 6 months and we'll just do a postmortem on the Switch launch.
Me right, and you. Yeah.
And we'll post it up on here and we'll go from there.
It sounds good to me for sure.
All right, man. Good shit. So okay, so I wanted to touch upon something because we're time runneth out at some point.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted to touch on something you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, is that you are a Twitch, you're on Twitch, right?
So
you know, what are you playing on Twitch? Like, what are you streaming more often than not?
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, I started Twitch. I'm actually relatively new at doing Twitch. I'm only like a month and a half in, so I'm still kind of building my brand and in a viewer base, which is growing slowly but steadily. It's actually, I'm excited. But I tend to do a variety of games. Like just last week, the last 2 weeks, I did Resident Evil, the remake. I played that. Just before that, I was playing Shovel Knight. Before Shovel Knight, I was playing Killing Floor 2. Before that, I was playing Neo, and then every Friday, including today, actually, I'm going to be doing a drunken Jackbox Friday, where I get drunk and play Jackbox Party Pack with my viewers, and that's always a fun time.
Oh, that's perfect, man. That is the way to do it. I've dabbled in Twitch here and there, mostly like playing Overwatch, but. I mean, my consistency on that one is so low just because I don't know when I'm actually going to be able to, like, play next.
Right.
Having two kids and then working at dumb hours and
right,
shit like that just don't help with that. So if I can get the work side sorted, it'll be all right. But so you just stream. You're a variety streamer, honestly. You play whatever catches your fancy.
Whatever catches my fancy, I'm feeling. I try to do like one game a week. You know, I try like to keep it like just consistent for about a week. Maybe depending on how much I'm enjoying the game and like how much my viewers are liking it and how long the game is, I might extend it. Like that's what I did with Resident Evil. I after the first week, I wasn't even close to beating it, but I was having such a good response with my viewership that I was like, you know what, I'm going to keep this going. This is great. I'm loving the game. I want to beat it. I actually want to beat it now. You know, it's not just a passing fancy. Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, I try to switch it up. Even for myself, like I can't be playing a game, the same game for months and months and months. I can't do it. I'll get bored, and then I'll stop. I won't be as inspired to stream as I am when I switch it up and do something new, something different.
No, that makes sense. I always have that one game that I always go back to. So it was originally World of Warcraft, and then, I don't know, it kind of fell off from there. Then Destiny, and now Overwatch. That's my one game. And it kills my backlog, because I want to play Overwatch, but then I know that I have Horizon Zero Dawn I have to play. I have Legend of Zelda I have to play. I have Ghost Recon Wildlands I have to play. I still haven't beaten Battlefield 1. Like, my backlog, even just from, the last 6 months, is exponentially growing, and I can't seem to get rid of anything off this damn list.
Yeah, I totally get you. I'm actually I've actually held off on buying anything new until I've beaten the games that I have been pushing off. Except the only game I am going to buy, although I'm hearing mixed reports, so I might hold off on it, is the new Mass Effect Andromeda.
I've already been playing it.
Yeah, I have not. I've heard mixed things. Is it worth buying? Yes or no? Just give me a yes.
I say yes. Caveat, I've only touched it for about an hour and a half, 2 hours last night. But that's pretty much what everybody's had at this point.
Right.
I mean, most of these pre-reviews are in 5 hours or less, and you've played the other Mass Effect games. That's 5 hours. Yeah. That's
just scratching the surface.
Exactly. And so I have a feeling that it'll turn and it'll be a good game. I don't have any shadow of a doubt on that. It feels good. It feels like a Mass Effect, so the movement feels like a Mass Effect, right? Where there's the slow start and then the slow stop and stuff like that. So if you can get past that, it'll be all
right. Right. All right. Well, then that's fine. That's good then.
and the animations are a little janky in the humans, but
I'm sure they can patch that out.
The game, though, they've already been talking about it. That game's massive, though. So you can't. I mean, if they hammered on, The Witcher 3, which had some weird animation jank and stuff like that, that game is a masterpiece in my mind.
Right, right. And Fallout 4, even to this day, is still janky as fuck.
that's just the Bethesda jank. That's comes with the territory, man. Come on.
Right, right, yeah.
All right, man. So, that's probably going to wrap us up. Go ahead and plug whatever you have. You know, get your plugs out there. Where can people find you?
Shameless self promotion. Love it. So you can follow me on Twitch. My Twitch channel is Average Jose Gaming. It's twitch.tv/AVGJose JOSE Gaming. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter under the same handle @AVG. Jose, JOSE Gaming. I stream Tuesday through Friday and sometimes Sunday if I have the time. And I do different games every week. I do my Drunken Jackbox Fridays, which is my favorite day of the week because I get to drink and I get to play awesome fun trivia games. So I always love that. And I get to play with my viewers, and that's always interesting because I never really know who's going to be coming in.
Well, I might be popping in here then soon too.
Oh, well then there you go. That'll be awesome. I hope I see you there.
Oh, you probably will. Maybe not tonight, but next Friday for sure. Right, absolutely. I got another thing to record right after this. So never sleep, man. So, awesome, man. You've been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thanks a lot. This is my first podcast, so I hope I did good.
No, you were great. And I love ranting about Nintendo and hearing other people's thoughts about Nintendo, honestly, because Nintendo is such a weird and fucking half backwater, half intelligent company. It's just, it's fun to actually hear other perspectives on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have the ability to be the best ever again, but they just keep on, Let me not start again.
it's the little things, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for this episode of Why We Play. You can follow me on Twitter at NadNerb, NadNerb. You can also email the show at whyweplayshow@gmail.com. It's the same thing on Twitter at whyweplayshow. If you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have anything that you want me to talk about randomly, go ahead and shoot me an email. I'm always looking for reviews. I'm looking for feedback. So if you can find a minute of your time to fire off an iTunes review or an email, either way, I'm always looking for ways to fix the show. So be sure to do that. And that's going to do it for us this week. I'm still trying to figure out how to close this show out every time. It sounds really awkward. So, I'm just going to leave it at the awkward pause, and I'll come up with something later. So, yeah. Keep playing games, and let's keep talking.